In the day's other headlines, Russian officials raised the death toll to 139 in the Friday night terror attack outside Moscow. Today, the Kremlin talked of vengeance as investigators worked the scene. Stephanie Tsai reports.
Crocus City Hall is a charred shell of debris and devastation. Rescue workers search for bodies buried in its ruins. Days after attackers armed with rifles and knives lay waste to a rock concert. It was the deadliest terror attack in Russia in decades. Today, Russian President Vladimir Putin said radical Islamists were behind the massacre, but he also continued to implicate Ukraine without evidence.
We know that the crime was committed by the hands of radical Islamists, whose ideology the Islamic world itself has been fighting for centuries. We are interested in who ordered it.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky denounced the suggestion. Four main suspects appeared in a Russian court and appear to have been beaten. They're all of Tajik descent. The Islamic State's Afghan branch, ISIS-K, posted this video claiming responsibility for the attack, a claim verified by the U.S., which had shared intelligence with Moscow ahead of time.
They've been preparing this for some time. U.S. had given warnings a few weeks ago that this attack could take place.
Paul Colby is a former operations officer for the CIA, with a focus on Eastern Europe and counterterrorism. ISIS has attacked Russia a number of times over the years and has recently begun recruiting heavily from Central Asia, including Tajikistan.
Tajik workers are in Moscow, so they provide both a willing and attractive recruitment pool for ISIS-K because they have access to Russia. Because they can be radicalized, and because they can be bought relatively cheaply.
The deadly attack has shaken Russia days after President Putin, fresh from securing a fifth term, promised stability. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Stephanie Tsai.
The attack in Moscow has done nothing to slow Russia's renewed bombardment of Ukraine's capital. Today, missiles were fired at Kyiv for the third time in 5 days. After some of the weapons were intercepted, debris fell on homes, injuring 9 people. Japan's Prime Minister Fumio Kishida has offered to meet with North Korea's Kim Jong-un. It would be these two nations' first summit in nearly 2 decades, if it happens. Kim's sister, Kim Yo-jong, announced it today, but she insisted Tokyo accept the North's weapons program and ignore abductions of Japanese citizens. Japan acknowledged it wants a summit, but with no preconditions. The U.S. and Britain say China was behind a sweeping hacking campaign against lawmakers, defense contractors, and others. Today, they sanctioned a company said to be a front for Beijing. The U.S. Justice Department said it underscores, quote, the potential for cyber-enabled foreign malign influence as we approach the 2024 election. The European Union launched new antitrust probes into Apple, Google, and Meta today. Regulators say the tech giants may be violating a new Digital Markets Act, which aims to help consumers move freely between competing services and not be cornered by so-called gatekeeper companies.
Consumers must have access to all the necessary information about their choices. Gatekeepers can no longer prevent businesses from informing their users within the app about cheaper options outside of the gatekeeper's ecosystem.
The tech companies dispute the allegations, but they could be fined 10% of their global annual income. Florida's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis has signed one of the country's most restrictive social media laws for minors. It bars children under 14 from creating and owning accounts and requires parental permission for 15 and 16-year-olds. If it withstands legal challenges, the law takes effect next January 1st. An early spring snowstorm churned across the northern plains and upper Midwest today, while the South watched for thunderstorms and tornadoes. It followed a weekend storm in New England that dumped more than 2 feet of snow and knocked out power to hundreds of thousands. Police also reported hundreds of accidents. Boeing is shaking up its executive suite amid a plague of safety problems. The company announced today that David Calhoun will step down as CEO at the end of the year. The board chairman and the head of its commercial airplanes unit are also leaving. Boeing is under intense scrutiny after a 737 MAX lost a door panel mid-flight back in January. Los Angeles Dodger Shohei Ohtani says he never bet on sports. Ohtani spoke at a news conference today, 5 days after his interpreter was fired amid allegations that he engaged in illegal gambling and theft from Ohtani. Ohtani said his interpreter had been, quote, stealing money and has told lies. Major League Baseball has opened a formal investigation. And on Wall Street, stocks cooled a bit after last week's run-up to record highs. The Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 162 points to close at 39,313. The NASDAQ fell 44 points, and the S&P 500 was down 16. Still to come on the NewsHour, the fate of the most commonly used abortion pill goes before the U.S. Supreme Court. Tamara Keith and Susan Page break down the latest political headlines. And retired Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer discusses his new book on interpreting the Constitution.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.